Welcome back. It is Tuesday, August 26th, here on the show, and in a few minutes we'll get to our favorite baseball plays of the day. So Labor Day weekend's coming up, which I'm excited because, Jenks, I believe we both have Labor Day off.
Yeah.
But I am a little sad that summer's over. But, man, can I not wait to decorate my stoop. Christian Girl Autumn is almost in full effect. So let me ask, is Catherine super into, like, decorating and homemaking and fall as I am?
I wouldn't say she's into fall, but she is on a roll right now. Like, on a roll. Because I told you we were sort of redoing our bedroom. Not redoing, it just needed to be done.
And refreshed.
Yeah, I need to be refreshed for sure. So we had the paint done. We got the curtains in. We have the bedding in. We ordered a picture or two to go above the bed. So Catherine has been, like, on a roll where, like, she'll be working because she's working from home for the next couple weeks, and then she'll disappear. I'm like, what? Where'd she go? And then I go upstairs, and she's reorganizing the closet. And then she's downstairs working. I go in the kitchen, whatever. I'm working on the show. I turn around. We're in the same office. She's gone. I go upstairs. She's looking at whether the bedding matches the curtains the way she wants it to. So she's just in the zone right now, like completely in the zone. We got a rug that we ordered. We're going to put that down. Anyway, so I was like, honey, we are going to finish it this week. She's like, I'm just so ready. We're so close. I was like, we're going to get it done. But yeah, right now, not fall, but as far as like sort of redecorating or finishing this project, yeah, she's right there.
I feel like home decorating and like interior design is one of those hobbies that once you get into it, it's very easy to lose yourself and be like,
yeah,
money is no object. I really want this cabinet. Like, I feel like that has to be like one of the best influencer jobs to have, because like, think of the commissions on the things you sell, like furniture. I don't know when the last time you bought furniture is.
Last week.
Why is it so expensive?
Yeah, it was crazy. Remember I was telling you the story of the guy lifting this furniture up? Crazy expensive, yeah. So all that came in. Like, it's just, it looks like a completely different place, which is great. That's what we wanted. But yeah, it can get pricey really quick. And we looked at each other and we're like, you know, we are saving for a wedding, right? Like, we need to do this. So just FYI, we're getting married in April.
We're going to have it on this couch.
Let's just, right. We might be married in the living room at this point. Maybe in this bedroom.
The older I get, the more I realize, like, the hobbies and things I like require a lot of money.
Yes.
Like, I told you how the algorithm on my Instagram now thinks I'm, like, reverting back to a horse girl. But you talk about expensive hobbies.
Oh, God.
Being a horse person, like, horses are not cheap. The upkeep is insane. You have to pay boarding if you don't have somewhere to keep them. And, like, think about, like, vet costs for dogs. Like, those aren't cheap. Think of what you would pay for a horse doctor. It's way more.
I guess, like, when I see someone with a horse, I'm like, well, you have a lot of money. And I'm not
saying
they
have family money.
Yeah. Like, there's family. If you have a horse, then you know, like, I was watching some crime documentary, shocking, and this girl was like, it was Dateline, and the guy was like, so you had your stepfather or your parent here gifted you a horse. She goes, I had three horses. And I was like, oh my God, you had three horses as a teenager? Yeah. And I was like, okay, a lot of money there. Yeah. I can't even imagine the upkeep.
Yeah. I think I miss the days when, like, you'd be happy with, like, because, like, I have a five-year-old, so, like, she's happy when we go to the store and I buy her, like, a little toy that's, like, $6. Like, I miss those days. Now, as an adult, like, every cool hobby is expensive. Like, oh, you want to redecorate your house? Oh, it's expensive. Oh, you want to be a horse girl? That's really expensive, too. So, Jenks, the more I look into things, the more I realize that hobby horse girl might have been onto something. Because that's the cheaper way to go if you can't afford horses. You just get that fake horse that has the long broomstick attached.
Yeah, I tell you what, she figured that out a long time ago. She's like, go ahead, spend that money on those thoroughbreds. I got a stick and a horse, and I'm hopping around having the time of my life.
The hobby horse. What a weird recurring theme we have on the show, bringing her up. But bless her, she loves what she does. All right, Jenks, let's get to the baseball slate today. And if you are going to be betting on baseball anyway, might as well use a boost token over at BetMGM. Swing big on your next MLB parlay. Use this parlay boost token to score a bigger payout if your baseball parlay hits, only at BetMGM. All right, so yesterday I talked about my first impression roses, because I'm sure you're like me. You look at the slate and you kind of see, okay, which one kind of speaks to me? So let me ask you today, what were the games that you first investigated? You say, okay, I like this pitching matchup. I like these teams. Who gets the first impression rose for you today?
You know, this is going to be a weird one. I like the first five under between the Nationals and the Yankees.
Ooh.
Is that a bad play?
Explain.
Here's the thing. Well, so here's the thing. Mackenzie Gore is going for the Nats, and I feel like the only time you can bet the Nationals is if you want to bet on an under or the Nationals to steal some plus money, it has to be when Mackenzie Gore is on the mound. That's it, right? And so he doesn't have a winning record overall or on the road, only 3-6 away from D.C., but his ERA on the road, 3.59. The Yankees and their bats, just like we saw against the Red Sox, are just all over the place. Luis Gil, in his sophomore season, was not great early on, but now he's put together a nice string of starts. 4 runs over his last 15 2/3 innings, and the Nationals, not a good team in the first 5. They are bottom 10. So I think even if the Yankees get a couple off Mackenzie Gore, I don't know if the Nats will hit Luis Gil. But does this worry you? It worries me. First 5 number is 5. First 5 under 5 is -125. And I feel like whenever we get a 5, it's almost too good to be true.
It's like when a black cat walks in front of you. You're like, uh-oh, what's going on with that? I think some of it is due to the fact that the Yankees have been scoring a lot of runs lately. They scored 10 last night against the Nationals. That game was not close. I think it was 10-0. And then the Nationals scored some later on in the game. Game before that, the Yankees scored 7. I know they looked terrible in those other games against the Red Sox, but maybe there's a little hint of that. But yesterday, the starting pitcher was Brad Lord, who is a far cry from Mackenzie Gore, who I would say is probably the ace of the staff. Like, is he not? Like, yes. I know he's not, like, one of the best pitchers in all of baseball, but at one point, he was leading the league in strikeouts. Like, I don't think that's the case anymore, but he is a solid pitcher. So if there is ever a time to do it, maybe it's today, but it wouldn't get my first impression rose. So, like, I feel like that was kind of a dark horse. I didn't see you going that way. One of my hypotheses would be, okay, are we on the Blue Jays again today? I know the price is a little steep at -190. I think I saw this at -175 in some other shops, but you'd have to play on the run line or you'd have to go first 5 in some capacity. But Jenks, this is one of your easy winners from yesterday. Yeah. Are you going to continue to ride the Blue Jays train?
I am. I found them on the money line this morning at -166.
Expensive hobbies.
Expensive hobbies. Yeah. It's close. But here's the thing. I think if you take the Blue Jays on the run line, you'll be fine. Right now, that's +120. I'm thinking about money line -166. I don't know. But here's the thing. You have Bailey Ober going for the Twins. You have Chris Bassett going for Toronto. And Chris Bassett has one of the more interesting splits in all of baseball. On the road, he's unreliable. He has an ERA of 6.10. But when he's at home, he's a stalwart. 8-0 this season, a 2.73 ERA. Bailey Ober has an ERA over 5. And when Bailey Ober takes the mound, the Twins have lost 11 straight games. Blue Jays, money line or run line, I think you have to go with here.
All right, so I found you a -160. So I think that's possibly playable. We'll see if it still holds throughout the show, because that's the tricky part, is that our best bets don't come till later in the show. But I think there's a reason we're seeing money come in on Toronto, because I feel like for one of the best teams in baseball, you still get pretty good value on Toronto. I was talking to Jake about this last night, is that I find myself never betting on the Yankees or the Dodgers because they are good teams, but the price is never right on them. I feel like when it comes to the Blue Jays, sometimes the Tigers and even like a few other teams that you can still get a good price. The Brewers, like, you got plus money on their run line last night. That Toronto's good enough where I feel like they're in the circle of trust for me. At home this year, 43-21. As favorites, 34-25. I think you could probably make a good case for the run line as well. On the run line, they've been really good at home this year, 41-23, which is even more impressive because consider the run line bets for a home favorite. Obviously, you don't play the bottom of the ninth if you're leading. So the fact that they have a winning run line record at home bodes well for Toronto. So I think, you know, if you're interested in some plus money, that is a solid bet for Toronto today against the lackluster Twins, who don't have a great bullpen either. All right, so let's talk about these two games. So we'll start with the Phillies and the Mets. And I was telling you this yesterday. The Phillies have some problem with playing at Citi Field. I don't know what it is, but they are not great when it comes to playing on the road at New York. This is a big divisional series. The Phillies now have, I believe, a 6-game lead after losing last night to the Mets. So I think on first glance, you see this and you say, hey, the Phillies at -115. Lizardo's been great. I know he has a 4.10 ERA, but his last few have been really outstanding. Sean Manaea has not been great for the Mets. I don't know. This one seems fishy to me. Like, when you see a price that feels too good to be true, a lot of times it is.
It is, but I might take it. I might add this to the card the more I look at it. I mean, here's the thing. Sean Manaea started off great, and then he has not been good at all. So the Mets have lost his last 5 straight starts, and during that time, he's given up at least 4 runs in 4 of those starts. Like, here are his last 4 appearances. Loss 7-6, loss 7-6, loss 11-9, loss 9-3. He's been getting run support, so if you think that you think the Mets can hit Jesus Luzardo, then maybe the over is the play. You can maybe play this down from 8 and a hook, play it at 8, go over, or maybe you go over 8 and a hook. We saw a big scoring output from both teams yesterday. But it's hard to trust Manaea based on his last 4 outings. I mean, he has just gotten roughed up from everyone from Seattle to the Nationals.
Yeah, I don't know. I think something about yesterday's game just makes me feel uneasy because I was fully ready to trust Christopher Sanchez last night and gave up a 5 spot. So once again, Jesus Luzardo has great numbers coming in. I think I'm going to stay away, even though normally I can be talked into betting the Phillies. The Phillies have just not been great. They are 2-5 in their last 7 trips to Citi Field. So maybe it's something about New York. All right, Diamondbacks Brewers here. The Diamondbacks +140, Brewers -170. So we might have to take the run line again if we're interested in Milwaukee. Brandon Pfaadt is 12-8 with a 4.95 ERA. Jacob Mizrowski gets the ball for the Brew Crew. He's 4-2 with a 4.19 ERA, total of 8.5 runs. So I was on the Brewers on the run line yesterday, and it was very much a sweat. Do I dare to sweat again? Sometimes I feel like when you have a bet that wins but barely, you're like, all right, I shouldn't push my luck. Are you on the Brewers today?
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go... I think I'm going to bet the over is what I'm going to do here. I think I'm going to go over 8. So Brandon Pfaadt has been not great on the road. ERA of 6.50. Now he has to face these Milwaukee bats. And then Mizrowski has been really good, but he hasn't been as good as we saw earlier in the season. Like, I think he absolutely fits that candidate who is starting to slow down a little bit. And it's not, here's the thing, it's not because of wear and tear, because it's not like he's played this full season. We know the whole All-Star controversy, like he barely even played. But I do think when you're a younger guy, especially like a guy like that, like, he's not accustomed to the wear and tear of a full Major League Baseball season because he's so young. So he's given up 7 runs in his last 7 1/3. That covers a span of 3 games. He hasn't been going long into games. And while I do like Milwaukee, anytime you're playing the Diamondbacks, the over is something to look at because they can hit the ball still, but also their bullpen is so bad. So I can even see Milwaukee tacking on a couple of runs late. I think I'm going to go over 8. Yeah.
I think this is a solid play for the reason that the Diamondbacks still have some good hitters. Like, I know the Diamondbacks are a non-factor in the playoffs this year just because they've been so hurt. But, like, remember going into the season? Like, this was supposed to be a contender in the NL West. If you look at their top of the lineup, I was watching this game last night. This is why I noticed it. Their first two batters are each hitting 290. Luis Perdomo, Ketel Marte, who is a perennial all-star, was supposed to be on the trade block. Then you have Corbin Carroll, who's starting to heat up. He had two hits last night. And here's the thing. Brandon Woodruff, who is a quality pitcher, gave up five earned runs to this lineup, who also had all kinds of travel issues before this game. The Diamondbacks didn't get in until like 3 o'clock in the morning, so the fact they still scored five runs in this game, I think they can put up some on the Brewers, especially once Jacob Mizorowski comes out of this game, because we've seen it. He's not somebody who goes deep into games, and the bullpen was worn down last night from both sides, so I do like the over there. All right, coming up next, time to speculate wildly about Justin Herbert and Madison Beer. It's next on the Daily Tip.